Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Dennis, wow. can you pass around some rosé, please?
Oh, God, yes.
Welcome to Food for Thoughts. Yes. The podcast Gabfest in which a multiracial mix of queer writers talk about everything from sex to identity, mm-hmm. race, relationships, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought, come taste our rainbow.
Please.
We have like this Google Doc that's filled with different taglines, and each time I'm just like, oh, I don't know how to.
They're not all winners.
And we're fucking here at the Bell House. Oh my God. Thank you to everyone for coming here instead of that concert for Janet Jackson in Jersey. If I were you,
Jersey.
I would be going with Janet. I'd be like, fuck this.
It's Jersey.
I'm Fran. I'm a writer, editor, and this is Juicy Couture. So.
It is. I'm Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, beardless lumbersexual, and I unsuccessfully slid into Joel Kim Booster's DM.
Oh my God. He tried it.
Was not unsuccessful.
He's here, isn't he?
But it's a long con.
It is a very long con.
Listen.
Saga.
Sometimes we're in it for the long game, Joe. It's fine.
I'll go down on you backstage after.
Okay, great.
Great, perfect.
Done and done. Hi, everyone. I am Dennis Norris II, and this is my first live show with
Hell
Food
yes.
for Thought.
Yes.
I'm super excited to be here. And I am a reader, writer, and I'm a bottom at large with a world-class ass.
Yes.
I have no shame.
Hey, everybody. My name is Joel Kim Booster. I'm a writer, a comedian, and quite frankly felt very objectified by the PR push for this. I am not just a great set of arms, I'm also a beautiful brain. Why did they not mention that in any of the ads?
I don't know who did that. I'll talk to our social media intern. Literally every single tweet was like, Joel Kim Booster's biceps, come.
Accurate.
I mean, they are glorious.
Them. Look at them.
I covered them because
yes,
I didn't want
you're
people
with...
to be distracted.
Oh, a gay man being withholding. I'm so surprised.
Joel, also the only person not wearing a one piece right now. So embarrassing. Oh my God. Didn't get the memo. It's fine. All right, so Dennis, what's on the menu right
yes.
now?
We have a game called To Tweet or Not to Tweet.
You're gonna love it.
We're gonna hear a delectably juicy and scandalously hot story from Joel Kim Booster.
Remains to be seen, but
yeah. About an uncomfortable alliance, which we all have. And we're gonna get deep into internet persona, talking about who we are when we're online. Are we really presenting ourselves as our true selves? Are we performing? Are we curating? How does that work? And then we're going to finish off with a dreamy dessert from Fran.
Hell yes.
It's going to be amazing. Thoughts, take it away.
Yes. Musical interlude. Num, 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 thoughts. I'm feeling a little bit peckish. We're going to start off the show in the same way we start off every show, with a small bite for your palate and mine. A little game we like to call To Tweet or Not to Tweet. So in this game, we are all... we've all prepared some Twitter drafts, things that we've thought about tweeting but haven't actually tweeted. We're
That's
going
true.
To read them aloud, but we really wanted to get the audience involved in this. So we're going to give y'all the opportunity to ruin Fran's Twitter persona. We will read the Twitter draft, and then you all will get to vote to tweet, in which case the thought is legally obligated to tweet that tweet.
Oh, no. Oh,
or not to tweet. And this is really the kicker, at which point the thought has to forever delete said tweet. It is in your hands.
Oh,
because we're all playing, we have an impartial judge, our producer, Alex DePalma, and she is going to say to tweet or not to tweet based on your audience reactions. Alex, I love her more than poppers. I love doing poppers with her. And she is the Jean-Paul Sartre to our Simone de Beauvoir.
She is the magic behind the thoughtery.
Fran, we're going to lead off with you, baby.
Oh, my God. I did not... The rules of this game were not discussed, or if they were, I definitely skimmed that email because I definitely can't tweet some of these. Anyways, I got to... Okay. The first one that I have here, and this is like a tweet draft from like 2000... I found it from like a while ago. If I were a Disney princess, I would for sure be Ariel because she is the horniest.
That's, you would not normally tweet that.
I wouldn't. It feels just a little in your face.
Yeah, it is. So
is that empirically true though?
Is there an alternative? Think about it. She was a teen. She was angsty. She was hitting puberty. She wanted to have sex with someone who was like 10 years older than her, even though
true.
She doesn't have a vagina.
So what we need you to do, we need the visual for Alex, but we also want to get the feedback in the audio. So shout out to tweet or not to tweet, and thumbs up is to tweet, and thumbs down is not to tweet. Y'all, what do you think you should do?
Oh my God. Do I tweet it now?
What are you the... You must tweet it immediately. Alex says yes. Great. You must tweet it immediately.
Amazing. Okay.
I have a feeling that they're going to just vote for tweet it.
But
no
so
matter.
All of them.
Yeah.
I feel like they want us to humiliate ourselves.
Some of mine are mind fucks. I'm purposely picked things that I'm going to argue for the not tweet alternative. For example, for this one. So I was unsure about whether or not I should tweet this because I think it's true and a little funny, but also it would probably lead to me not getting laid. So if I tweet this, I think it's less likely that I'll get laid by the people that I'm tweeting about. I swear, if I ever see another run-of-the-mill chorus boy post another generic backstage boomerang, I will DM him hoping he'll pay attention to me.
Oh my God. Don't tweet that. Oh, sorry.
See?
All right. So to tweet or not to tweet?
Yeah. Don't tweet.
Oh,
is there?
Oh my God!
Thank you.
So
is there? I think there should be a third option that's just like I have notes.
We do have those listeners. We do. We get those DMs.
There are.
It's
edits.
Real. And sometimes we meet them. There are.
Dennis.
Edits. Okay. So this one is from an hour ago.
Bitch.
I'm starting off easy. I am literally wearing a sparkly red jock strap under my overalls right now.
Don't you? Yeah. Do you have like colleagues and coworkers that follow?
It's true.
You're all picturing it now, aren't you? Okay, to tweet or not to tweet?
Tweet. Done. Tweeting.
That's Alex tweeting. Says to tweet.
We have to see if my Sprint service works well in here, though. That was the biggest mistake
Sprint
of my life.
Sprint is the dentist of cell phone services.
It's the worst. It's the worst. Don't do it. I think it tweeted.
Joel.
Joel, batter up.
Yeah, I forgot about this game.
Oh, my God.
These are all mostly fine. So I feel like I might be alienating my base with this, but the number of times I've had to pretend to think cars are hot for some Tokyo Drift rice queen is staggering.
Okay, I guess you are kind of funny.
Oh, my God. Kind of.
To tweet or not to tweet? Oh my God, in unison!
That's a huge portion of what I depend upon to get laid, but okay.
This is not a game. This is just like crowdfunding our own self-affirmations.
Or our own self-destruction.
Except not surprisingly, mine are all sad and leave the audience like confused mostly.
Like super polarized.
Fran?
This one's just, you know, plain and simple. Oh God. All I'm saying is I wouldn't not fuck a murderer.
I relate to that.
What?
I was thinking about that.
Those are hot.
That hot mugshot guy. What's that
yes.
hot mugshot?
Oh, Jeremy.
No,
me?
He was not.
Yeah.
He was not a murderer. He was not a murderer.
No, he no. was.
We all would fuck him. Like yes, but he is not a murderer.
Minor misdemeanors. Joe, batter up. Oh wait, sorry.
Oh, to tweet or not to tweet?
No.
Oh no, this is 50-50.
Ooh. Wait, Alex.
Impartial judge says.
She says no. Okay.
She said the majority of people say no. Wow.
Amazing.
Oh. Amazing. Oh.
I like this. I like that this is actually making
this
decisions
is fun.
I really thought it was everyone's.
Okay. Audience members, how do you feel about subtweeting ex-boyfriends?
Oh, God.
Great. So
I've built a career.
So this is an ex-boyfriend subtweet. He got a job in another country and then broke up with me. So this tweet is, you used to call me on your cell phone. Now you live across an ocean, thank God.
Don't tweet.
We are not to tweet.
No.
Yeah. Alex says not to tweet, but he's gonna hear it anyway. I'm so happy right now.
Here's the thing. You know what? Y'all are so encouraging right now. You're just looking out for Joe.
You guys are just...
My Twitter is so sad. I should have you follow me around everywhere just shouting at me not to tweet things. Don't tweet that. Okay, Dennis.
You guys are all so nice. I love it.
I'm deleting
tweet
it.
Everything that's gonna destroy you.
Dennis.
Even though I love you. Okay. This is kind of awkward, but it's true.
Oh, no.
That feeling when you find your roommate's douche on the bathroom floor for the third time. To tweet or not to tweet.
Oh.
I mean, where is the lie?
Alex.
It's true.
Alex says it's a majority tweet.
Done. Yeah. Tweeting.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't follow me on Twitter. It's fine.
Okay. Joel. When two gay Asians are dating, they often call that sticky rice. Well, I think it should really be called Asian fusion.
It's not good. Joel, you came on our show and you're funnier than us. I don't like this anymore. I regret
We're never doing this with a comedian again.
No, never. Okay, it's the that, answer
wow,
was to
that was
it's
so tweet,
it's being
amazing.
Tweeted. Well, that was fun.
Yes.
Fran,
that was a good time.
Thank you for joining us in that game.
Dennis, tell us what's up next.
We are so excited. We have a fabulous story from our master thought, Joel, here. Deal with some uncomfortable alliances. We're super excited, and we're ready to listen. Joel, take it away.
I thought we were all sharing stories.
Oh, no.
This is a lot more pressure than I initially assumed.
Clearly, he doesn't listen to the show. Joel, I have no doubt about your ability to perform under pressure.
I've listened to, a lot, tens of episodes of your
show.
That's all we have.
So
That's
okay.
It.
No, so this story, I'm so sorry to bring you back to this place, but it begins election night in 2016.
Everyone in this room was triggered.
I'm so sorry. I had the privilege of seeing the election happen on a plane. I was flying from San Francisco, so it was very exciting. Everyone on the plane was watching CNN on the backs of their seats, except for, by the way, one man two rows in front of me who was watching Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. And boy, we all judged him at the time, but in hindsight, he was right, you know? So good for him. We all should have been doing that. We all could have used the comic stylings of Aubrey Plaza at that moment. That flat affect. It's perfect. That's where I was. So go forward the day after the election. Obviously, we're all very sad. I meet up with my friends at legendary gay bar, The Duplex, because when the country is about to go up in flames, you gotta sing some show tunes. I'm there with all of my gay friends, and we're drinking, and it's we're all just truly I haven't been this blackout drunk in a long, long time, because obviously you had to be.
And the mood was somber. It was like,
yeah, oh,
we're
God.
Drinking to numb.
Well, and the thing is about the election in New York is, but when it all got called, it was 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So nobody was partying, and so we were all just doing that the next day. And it was, I was horny, because fear makes me horny. I did that thing where I invited a guy from an app to come. He was at a different piano bar. And I was
red flag.
it's like in that movie where they meet at the Starbucks across from the Starbucks. This is the gay version of that.
Exactly. I was come to my piano bar. And it was and I had waited, I did that thing where you are hedging your bets until the end of the night because you think you can do better.
I literally have never.
I had a lot of pans on the fire. And so no, I finally invited him, and it was almost 4 a.m. at this point. And so it was the bar is closing. He walked in, and I was "You'll do, pig. That'll do, pig." No. But here's the thing, he was really sexy. He was extremely attractive, and I think I have become. Well, okay, so we didn't talk is the point of this. He's
perfect.
I literally met him. I felt his abs under the shirt, and I said, all right, let's go. So I ordered us a lift. We got in the car, and we're, like, on the way back to my apartment. I truly, like, only knew his first name at this point, and he finally turns to me, and he was like, oh, so how about this election, huh? And I was like, how in the world can you be so casual about this? Like, how have we not talked about this? I'm terrified. What's going to happen to the country? I'm so nervous, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And then... he was silent for the longest period of time. And then he literally looked me in the eyes and was like, yeah, but she's a criminal. And I internally,
inside the house,
like, just clenched up, and I was like, oh, my God, what is happening? And I, like, couldn't believe what I was hearing. And he went on in the process of the lift ride to my apartment to tell me that he thought gay marriage was forced on America too soon. And I've never done this to another human being before, but I took my finger and I put it on his mouth and I said, you have to stop. Like, this is gonna, because, like, here's the thing. I know a lot of you are like, abort, abort, why didn't you abort? But, like, y'all, I had paid for the lift. And it was very expensive, Manhattan to Brooklyn. Like, we had to fuck.
No, like, I mean, no.
Like, it was, like, so expensive, and I'm poor, and I wasn't gonna get nothing out of that. So
this is Get Out, the sequel.
Yeah, like, really
absolutely not.
So we arrive at my apartment, and I was like, okay, like, let's just do this. Let's get it over with. It'll be fine. And the thing about the sex was, it was very bad.
Oh.
It was terrible. He, it was just, like, not, like, the chemistry wasn't right. And he did this, this cute thing during lovemaking, very quirky. He, tried to remove the condom from my own penis, like, 3 times, as though I wouldn't notice that happening.
That has also happened to me. What is the deal with that?
I know, and I'm like, you know, like, I don't want this on here either, but I know when it's not there. And it was, like, really ridiculous, and I had to stop him, and I was just like, I'm not gonna raw dog you. I was like, I don't want to catch whatever disease got to your brain.
Right, Trumpism is an STI.
Horrible. That happened, and, like, truly, I talk about this a little bit in my stand-up bit, but he did give head, like, it was the worst, like, he gave head like he had a third row of teeth. It was outrageous. And by the way, like, I would like to share with you that the B plot going on underneath all of this is that I was still struggling with a breakup that had happened in March. It's truly heartbroken. I was only with that guy for, like, I want to say 15 weeks, which I put it in weeks terms because it sounds like I've lost a
like
child.
Like a pregnancy. Yes.
And it just makes it seem more real. Like, saying 3 months is like, that, what are you sad about? But no, so I had texted that guy at the bar before I had met this guy, and he didn't text me back, and I woke up. So the Republican, the Trump voter was like, "Can I live in I live in Long Island."
Of course
he's like, yeah. He was like, "Can I sleep here tonight?" And I was like, I'm a bleeding heart liberal. how can I, you know, charity. So I was like, "Yes, of course you can stay."
Oh my God.
And
you are also anti-Fran.
Yeah.
Fran is like, melting down.
I'd be like, I'm already, like, texting, like, the chase train is that way.
But no, so I was like, yeah, but, like, I have to work in the morning, so, like, you can't, like, we can't, you know, you have to go right away. Meanwhile, like, I don't have a day job. I don't work during the day. And then, so I woke up the next morning. First of all, I forgot that I had texted the ex, and I woke up to a text from him responding to my text, and my immediate thought was, he's back. It's like, he's texted me, and then it was just like a very curt, like, response to the inane question I had asked him the night before, trying to bait him into texting me, which he did. And so I'm, like, sitting there, and I'm like, okay, time to go, like, I gotta get ready for work, and he is not taking the hint. I fully got up out of my bed, put on clothes, packed a bag,
like went and put my contacts in, like did the full routine, and I'm like, okay, well, I gotta start walking to the train. Like, do you wanna go? Walked him to a bus station, and then we had to walk by my roommate as she was doing yoga in our living room, and like I came back right away and she's like, weren't you going somewhere? And I was like, no! I wasn't going anywhere. I was just trying to get this man out of my apartment. And then like he texted me right away and he was like, I would love to see you again. And I was like, what about this experience says indicated to you that I want to see you again? I didn't say that. I was like, I don't think it's a match. And he texts me today, like almost monthly to this day. Oh, and it's like, hey, I'm in the city. And I'm like, you contributed to the downfall of Western civilization. Yeah. So,
so no.
That
like
is...
It's a no.
I feel like having listened to your stand-up special, so many of your stories are like, this person is horrible, and then I fucked him.
Yeah.
That's...
Because you can still have a hot fuck.
I mean, I did say I would sleep with a murderer, but I would not sleep with a Trump voter. So, I have to say. Yes.
I'm so sorry. I would never willingly. I would never knowingly. Although I was fucking, in 2015, I was frequently fucking another gay Republican who, don't worry though, voted for Gary Johnson.
Don't worry?
Yeah. No, don't worry. Wait, and just one really quick tidbit about him is he wanted to open up a business and he was like, I'm opening up a bar in Hell's Kitchen. And I was like, cool. He's like, don't worry, it's not a gay bar though. I'm not into that. And I was like, okay, what's your bar gonna be called? And he was like, Siren's Secret. And I was like, bitch, what's the secret? Like, anyway, so amazing. Yeah, I'm so sorry I keep fucking Republicans. I'll stop.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Before we move into the next segment, I have to say that Joe voted for Jill Stein.
In New York.
It's in New York. If you wanted to throw away.
I hate you, Fran. I was telling him not to say that. I could see it in his eye. Don't say it, Fran.
Martin O'Malley would have won. If we decided presidents by having them run the American Ninja Warrior obstacle course.
Oh my God, a bunch of people over there love American Ninja Warrior.
It's so inspiring! It's so inspiring!
Yes! Okay.
Fran.
Well, thank you for that, Joel.
I'm so sorry.
I think. Thank you, I think.
Give it up for Joel!
We've all done it. We have all done it.
Now it's time we get into the thought process, spelled T-H-O-T.
T-H-O-T.
The meat and potatoes of our conversation, if you will. And today we're talking about public self versus private self. The four of us are pretty active in the different ways that we interact with our respective audiences publicly. That is, now that Dennis has finally figured out that his Android can tweet.
Fair.
Yeah. And, you know... Where do we draw the lines, if there are any lines, between what we do or do not put out into the Ethernet, I think is one of the opening questions. Yeah, I know. Whether you're an author or a comedian or an influencer, in the age of social media, we are all a part of this kind of business of commodifying our identities in a small way or a big way to some degree. Where we might not be the worst offenders out there, we are all guilty of it from time to time. So I guess my first question, the burning question is, what are all of your feelings on sponsored Instagram sluts?
I'm actually going to have a surprising response to that as the panel's resident Marxist. Get paid. Like, honestly, I don't have a... it's like when DeRay is like... putting himself out as like the face of a movement and also tweeting McDonald's, I get a little confused and upset. But
yeah, you're like, what?
Like, just sometimes I'm just like, why? But in general, if people are actually making money for the content they produce, I'm not mad at it.
So swipe right is what you're saying.
I would say it's like a soft swipe right. And it depends on context and how you do it. But yeah.
This message comes from iHeartRadio sponsor, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should really think about getting a quote from Mercury. Because Californians save an average of $677 with Mercury. It's quick and easy, and in just a few minutes, you might find you could save a lot of money on your auto and home insurance. Plus, Mercury was named one of America's best insurance companies by Insure.com 4 years in a row. Low rates, big discounts, great insurance. Go to mercuryinsurance.com today to get a quote.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare, and even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast-forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Paris Hilton has a podcast. This is Paris, where she talks about the hottest in movies, music, and television with edgy, candid conversations and unexpected guests. This is Paris like you've never heard her before. Join Paris every week for an honest, open, and unpredictable romp through pop culture that only she can deliver.
Over my career, I've probably been interviewed about a million times. So now it's my chance to turn the tables and interview some of your favorite celebs, my friends, my family, people who I find interesting, newsmakers, influential people, and maybe even you.
This is Paris reveals a more personal view of influencer, model, and author Paris Hilton.
I love Schitt's Creek, The Simple Life, Westworld.
Wait, The Simple Life? Are you just going to put that in the middle and then elaborate?
I love it. How do you watch? It's just so much fun to watch with my boyfriend because he's not like the reality type.
Listen to This is Paris podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't have a problem with it either. I think that the reality of capitalism is that sometimes being broke just gets in the way of you doing what you want to do. So however yeah. you can like bring in those dollars, like bring it in so you can do your shit. Like
there
it's
you go.
It's also, I mean, I also want to bone Duray, so.
There we go.
I do. Surprising I have. No I love the Patagonia vest. Yeah.
Great. Joel just is, putting it out there, we would all fuck DeRay.
I
Great.
Would absolutely
Joe
not
would
fuck
not.
DeRay.
Joe would not.
I would not.
With
Joel,
a creeper sash.
As the person with, and this is going to make Fran really upset, as the person with the most followers on Twitter.
Oh my god.
Of everyone
true.
On stage.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Go true. For it, Joel.
Do you see that as like advertising for the stuff that you're actually making, or do you see that as sort of content itself to make money and revenue and get consumed?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't make money off of Twitter, and I couldn't imagine how that would work for me. So mm-hmm. I don't. It's a hard thing. Like I haven't been approached to. I lied. I have been avoiding the one Squarespace post sponsored ad that I've been supposed to do because it makes me feel gross. It like
it does.
Feels weird. Because I like Squarespace. I'll say it.
it's a really good
but
website.
But it feels weird to like have to shoehorn it in, and they're like, you can't talk about your asshole if, in the post, and it's like, then I don't know how to do this in my voice. You know?
Right.
So I, like, they keep emailing me. They're like, can you post about it? We're giving you a free subscription. And I'm like, I don't know.
But it's just for, it's not even for money. It's just for a free subscription.
Yeah, it's just for a free subscription.
Wow.
So.
Okay. So you guys are all being really tame about social media influencers, and I think that's really admirable. But is there a point in which you are engaging with someone on social media, and or rather you're just looking at the profiles, and it crosses the line, and you're like, I hate that so much.
I mean, we talk about this, Fran, that it, for me, when social media is about bringing you in to some other work that's larger than that, it's great. But when it's just about that, when social media is the work, to me, that's when it starts being
like branded Instagram couples.
For those of us who have just gone through a horrible breakup of 15 weeks.
almost 2 years ago now.
Almost 2 years ago.
The number
I'm almost there. I'm almost over it.
Getting there.
No, the couples in particular, selling that sort of homo... Like the heteronormative homo couple thing just grosses me out.
If I see one more like gay Mormon couple that are like pimping out their kids on Instagram, I'll lose it. You've misunderstood the assignment.
There is no, go with God.
Do whatever you want. I don't give a shit. But I think I really don't care. Like if you're using your brand as like on social media to make money, I'm with you. Like God bless you. And I guess like what I find a little bit more insidious is like the lack of acknowledgement of it. Like,
yes.
If
right.
you
oh my
wanna
God.
Have it both ways and be like, I am like the DeRay stuff is like particularly strange to me. But
it's
also like even activists have to make money somehow. I don't know exactly how he's doing it otherwise. So it's tough. I will say the thing less on the like influencer side or making money of it, like I find more gross like when I'm looking at a picture of someone in a Speedo by a waterfall and they're like Black Lives Matter.
Oh
like,
my God!
Some like strange like very long like post about finding and it's like no, we see what you're doing and like own that and like that's okay. It's this weird like need to be like no, this is not what I am on this platform. I'm more than my body. And it's like, but it's Instagram and you want to be cute on your Instagram, so just be cute on your Instagram. I don't need the bell hooks quote along with it, you know? Like,
I definitely post shirtless pictures with bell hooks quotes.
Like, oh my God.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I would follow. I would
Bodies are political, Joel. Bodies are political, okay?
Okay, sure.
I do think that in the age of having a shrieking canker sore as a president, there is this weird thing that's happening right now where, like, branded Instagrams, like, people who have always been like, I'm in a field and I have 50,000 likes on this photo and it's great. Now I'm seeing the kind of like that thing that's happening where it's just like political and also.
Well, I mean, wokeness is a commodity as
I was literally just about to say
that. Oh my God.
The thing about wokeness is it comes with like education and reading books and talking to people and living in communities. And there's like a certain, you know, it's not now when wokeness becomes a commodity, everyone is trying to buy into it without having gone through sort of
the work
that
it
works.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, I think that's like Trump has made it so easy to buy into
that's
that.
True.
No, because like
that's
now
so true.
To be woke, all you have to do is say Trump is bad, and it's like no shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's the lowest hanging fruit imaginable.
That's not woke. Like, that's just
buy
a
into
lie.
That like, the economy of wokeness.
So I mean, I feel like we're talking a little bit about like being political online. Fran wants more wine.
I want
No, it's kind of crazy. Joe was talking about how much grading he has to do, and he's sucking down on the wine. So
none of my students listen.
Sorry to all his students.
This is how his
none
students
of them
get
listen.
Their grades.
The grades will be much better because I'll be much happier. There's gonna be wine bottle
Fair.
And poppers and papers, and that's it. But I feel like do people feel not just about making money online, but do you feel like that you have to represent something that's true about yourself? Or are you... See, Fran and I differ here a lot. Fran, you don't feel like... I sort of have to tell all portions of myself. I don't want to portray this person out on social media that I'm not actually in real life.
I mean, I think that it depends on where you're at as a person on social media. But like sometimes when I am posting on my different platforms, I'm kind of like, okay, this is like the marketable version of myself, or like this is like something, I'm holding back everything that I don't want you to see. You get to see the things that I want you to see, and that's kind of as far as it goes. So in that way, I do feel like...
But you don't feel that's disingenuous?
But I think... Before the election, I was definitely a social, like, I was, you know, avocado toast on the marble table, and like that,
You still have a lot of cheese plates.
Yeah.
On social media.
Fran makes a really delicious cheese plate, though,
My
so
cheese plates are self-care.
They're really good. They're great.
Like,
they're
on any given night, like, if I really need to take care of myself, I'll be like, $42 on a cheese plate for one.
Yeah. Oh God.
Thank you. I'm gonna watch.
And they're worth it. Like they're really good.
It really is.
So you're saying your content has shifted after the election.
Yeah, and I think that's not the case for everybody, but I think that is that's a case for a lot of people. And for me, specifically on Instagram, I had this version of myself that was just copying off of what everyone else was doing. And at a certain point, I was just like, oh wow. We're all going to die and nothing else matters.
I would tweet that. That would be a me tweet.
Yeah.
We're all going to die and nothing else matters.
That's a joke tweet.
I think...
So, yeah.
Joel.
I get a lot of like accolades in my comedy for being like so transparent because I'll talk about getting cum in my eye, but I feel like that's only like 20. Like I hold back so much about
really
what I think and feel all the time because I think right now, especially on activist Twitter and social justice Twitter and all of these things, it requires a there's a level of certainty that I see in people's tweets that I don't have. I don't buy my own shit enough to tweet like that. And I have so many questions. And I do think that on the left side of the spectrum, there is this atmosphere on social media right now that sort of discourages these discussions and having questions. Like, I have a lot of questions about something people might tweet, and I don't want to ask questions anymore because I'm afraid that I'll either be seen as stupid or I'll be seen as problematic for asking the question because people see
quick to, like,
questions as
away.
Exhausting now. And it's upsetting, so I just don't tweet at all. And then there's the other side of it right now, too, where people... I can't process grief on social media anymore. I can't do it. And and I feel like people get mad when you don't, and I feel like people get mad when you do, and I just don't know what the right answer is, and I feel, I don't know, I'm frustrated all the time with social media.
Well, I totally relate to that feeling in a number of ways. And when it comes to first, like, being scared of asking questions or putting out your thoughts on Twitter, it's really interesting because there is such an intense call-out culture sometimes, and while in a lot of ways I'm here for that, sometimes there are ways in which the conversation is shut down where the conversation probably needs to happen. So, like, I'm a huge gymnastics fan, and I don't know if any of you guys saw, but Gabby Douglas was trending the other day because...
Not good
trending. It wasn't good trending, and I was like, oh, Gabby, like, that was wrong. Where Ali Raisman has recently come out about being abused by the USA Gymnastics team, Dr. Larry Nassar, like so many people have, and she's been really advocating that we leave behind the idea of victim blaming, and so she talked about that on a Twitter post. And then Gabby retweeted the post and said, but it's also, like, as women, it's our responsibility to dress modestly and to be classy so that we don't invite the wrong crowd. And not just Black Twitter, but especially Black Twitter came for her. And I understand that because, like, that is a crazy idea, right? Like, that's the idea of victim blaming.
And it does harm.
Oh, I thought you were siding with the modesty thing, wearing only a onesie and nothing underneath. I was like, what?
Listen. A boy's got to do what a boy's got to do. But I was thinking about it, and someone else posted something on Twitter that I really appreciated, which, because everyone was like, cancel Gabby Douglas, cancel Gabby Douglas. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is a 20-year-old girl who is not used to being a public figure. She's been a public figure for a few years as a teenager, and she has spent all of her time in a gymnastics gym. Like, she really hasn't gone to school. Like, she had, I mean, I think she has a high school degree, but she was, like, homeschooled. She hasn't been to, like, there's just a lot of ideas that she probably hasn't been exposed to. And so she's probably been taught this idea. And sometimes I think that we have to remember that it's important to help people unlearn some of the ideas that contribute to things like patriarchy and racism and homophobia. And we want to shut down the conversation, and sometimes people need the conversation, and, like, maybe that's okay. Well, like, she's not a 60-year-old person. She's a 20-year-old girl.
Wow.
Like, let's get her, like, have her read and, like, get her some ideas. And so when it comes to social media, for me, I do feel like I have to be a little bit careful about what I tweet because people will just jump on you and... Like, I understand the impulse, and, like, this is an urgent time politically in this country. Like, that is completely true. But when it's an urgent time, it's so important to give people space to grow and to have room to learn. Like, that's how we're going to move forward. And so that's where I have some trouble. When it comes to grief and, like, grieving, whether it's something that's happened publicly or something that's happened in your private life, like, I really can't do that publicly. Yeah. In that way, I'm a very private person, and I just, like, will not... Like, if I'm thinking about other people while I'm grieving something, I can't, like, deal with it. So I have to take that out.
I think I wonder a lot about what would have happened if we never introduced likes into any social media, because I feel like so many of these conversations are purely performative on everyone's point of view of just, like, they're not really, and I'm not saying this blanketly, but to take Gabby's example, like, sometimes I wonder the people who are quoting that tweet and, like, calling her out, like, are they doing it because they do want Gabby to learn and grow, or are they doing it because they know that by calling her out, they will get 1,000 retweets?
It scores points.
Which, and
using
that's frustrating to see.
Right, and using the same kind of logic system, does that mean that you would also go up to bat for like a Lena Dunham type character who is learning in public and who is doing, kind of exerting themselves and talking about things that they don't necessarily know a ton about because they're 20?
She takes up a lot of space though.
She takes up so much space. I mean, it's
not
like
physically,
every...
Not physically.
Like, it's
not
like every other month with Lena. It's a little bit... I mean, I...
Like, I mean, she taught a class on intersectional feminism at NYU without thinking that there might be an adjunct professor who's, like, a woman of color who might need that $5,000 a little more, right?
More than $5,000.
But, like, in terms of... So I am very different than everyone on the panel in that I am I'm a chronic oversharer on Twitter. I have the world's saddest Twitter. But I actually, like, I view oversharing as a political act in a way, in a world where, like, people are so... Honest to God, follow me. Follow me for just a moment. Where people are so shut off and curated. People are afraid to be emotional in public. People are, in certain ways, afraid to be visibly queer in public. People, and this is what I think... You know, you overshare... In certain ways, Joel, in terms of, like, I'm a queer person who has sex, that's political to do that in public. Like, there are ways in which it's okay to be queer in certain ways in public, but not in others. So for me, like, I tweet I go to therapy on Monday nights. Shout out Dr. Eric.
Everyone here knows that you go to therapy on Monday nights, okay? We follow you on Twitter.
Tune in.
Live for the therapy tweets.
There are more people in this room than I have followers on Twitter, so it's fine. but, like, I think... We talk a lot about how shame operates in the queer community, and all of my writing is about shame, but I never want to use the word shame. I want to live in opposition to it. Like, my Twitter is like, I have mental health issues. When I post about having panic attacks, I had so many people inbox me privately being like, thank you so much for, like, saying what it felt like to have a panic attack on Facebook. I never see that reflected in anyone's feed or in any public writing or in any other space. And it's something that we're all so ashamed of. It's like we're ashamed of having panic attacks. Like, if you're not having a panic attack in 2017, there's something fucking wrong with you.
Yeah.
The world is trash. True. And, like, literally fucking Rosé and Klonopin have kept me able to work. And work keeps
me on this stage right now.
And a lot,
like, it's real.
So,
it's real.
So for me, naturally in my life, I have no problem sharing my feelings where I come from publicly. And I move that over into the social media space because I think, again, it's so common that people curate that out of their social media persona, that curate it out, that put forward this life that is more perfect than their actual life. And it is true that I've actually had many people, including some in the audience, come up to me and be like, oh, you seem normal and functional. Based on your Twitter, I thought you would be like a bottle of tears all the time. And I also think it's important to note that, like, people who are struggling with mental health issues also have moments of joy. So I can be out in public and drinking and having a good time with my friends and actually be in a moment of great joy, and I'm not just sad. But, you know, I think sharing all of that publicly is important to me personally, and it gets a lot of, like, people, I think, respond to it.
And on the flip side, like, I only post about things that are going great in my life,
right.
But so what keeps you from posting about celebrations?
I think I post about both. I mean, I've been posting
proportionally,
a lot.
Though, like...
Well,
like, there's... Continue.
No, fair point. I mean, I feel like I post about both. I feel like I post about my feelings when I'm in those feelings. And so I probably am sad much more than I am not sad lately.
This is definitely the age in which, like, vulnerability is, like, really important. But there's also a flip side to, like, vulnerability, where it's like it's like a bullshit buzzword, and it's like I was already comfortable sharing this thing, but now I get to brand it as vulnerable.
I do think there's a way, and I'm having to watch this in myself because I get a lot of responses when I post sad things, where doing the anti-commodity thing becomes a commodity, right? It becomes a performance of being sad, and you know, you don't want to start performing being sad because then that doesn't allow for you to also have joy, right? So there's a balance to it as well. I totally agree.
But that's kind of why there are a lot of people who are, like, already comfortable reading their journal entries, like, live on stage, you know, like can I commend that as, like, vulnerability? I don't know. I'm more interested in what Joel is talking about, in that I would love to see some of the people who are vulnerable on social media actually be like, hey, I actually want to understand this, like, thing in social policy that I don't understand publicly. Someone engage in conversation with
right.
me. That's vulnerability to me, or the ones that I'm the kind that I'm interested in.
I do feel like there is a part of me that, like, I'll see someone call out a cultural appropriation, for instance, where I'm like, is that? And I don't feel comfortable having that conversation in public because it's like, is this something that's wrong with me? Or is this something that's wrong with, like, and it feels so scary to be on the opposite side of what all of my followers sort of land on, you know, because it does feel so easy to just be like, yeah, exactly, and then hit a like and hit a fave and hit a retweet and then move on. But I want to wrestle with it more, and I don't know where I'm allowed to do that.
I think there's a thing about online community is not actual community, right? Like, you want to learn about these things in spaces where you have trust and love and friendship. Like, I've learned things from my friends that you're not allowed those relationships online. It's like people talk about calling out instead of calling in, or calling in instead of calling out, and there's not, like, space for that online because I don't actually know you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
You don't have context.
I don't know you.
And you, like, don't know me.
And like, you don't know me. And so, like, if Joel, I know you, text me, and you're like, actually, we do this on the group chat, where we'll text each other on the group chat being like, hey, I saw this thing, and I think this about it. And is that, like, weird? Like, should I not think this thing about it?
Hashtag food for thought group chat on Twitter. Follow it.
Because, like, as much as we disagree, we, like, genuinely love one another, and we let ourselves be politically fucked up. Be vulnerable in that way. I will be politically fucked up in front of you guys, and I'll learn from it.
And just ask questions. Like, who here, who anywhere knows everything about everything?
That,
like,
is
truly
so
and
true.
And so, like, I just need space to learn something.
Well, there is this pushback about it, though, where people are like, just Google it if you want to know about the experience of a person who's other. And it's like, my perspective on that is like, no, if this idiot is coming to me and asking me a stupid question, yes, I would rather me, as an intelligent, worldly person, give them my perspective on it. Like, no, they could Google it and find some fucking Stormfront article that gives them a crazy perspective on it. I would rather hold their hand and walk them through it, as exhausting as it often is, than have them go out into the wilds of the internet and try and piece it all together. I understand the impulse to be like, oh, it's so exhausting to explain why A is racism all the time to some stupid white person, but it is like, I'd rather do the work than have them go out and then end up at a fucking Charlottesville rally in 2 years, you know? Like,
that's just
how I feel about it. And I could be wrong.
No, exactly. I don't think you're wrong. And also there's the beauty that, like, we get to choose, right? Like, we can choose when we want to hold someone's hand and walk them through that conversation. Mm-hmm. And when we can say, oh my gosh, there's this thing called Google. And when we say, oh my gosh, there's this thing called Google, we can sometimes say, oh, here's something that you'll find on Google that you should read. Like, here's another thing. Like, I will send people articles or send people things to read that I think they should invest their time in, because maybe I don't have the time to have the conversation
bookmarked.
Do I do bookmarked on Facebook and sometimes on Twitter, because I'm like, I'm going to get to this. I'm going to read
this. I'm going to get to this.
Yeah.
Joe's article in the Village Voice that was published a year ago.
Still haven't read it. It's bookmarked.
It's bookmarked.
I skimmed it.
Well, that's the thing, is that there's a failure to acknowledge that, like, I know a lot about what I already know, and there's most people aren't owning up to that, and when they get on a platform, they're like, I know everything because there's a microphone in my face. Like, all of you, be skeptical of what we're talking about on stage. Okay,
we don't know
everything. This is just like a dialogue.
I don't trust anybody who buys their own shit as much as I see on Twitter. Like, it is crazy to me.
Right.
And I'm like, really, you are so certain about this? It's crazy. Like, it makes me so uncomfortable to read.
Yeah.
We actually
We have to move on.
No.
Yeah, I know. I've got that feeling that I'm full, but I could fit like one more thing inside of me. It's time for dessert. Dessert is a segment in which we have a very scrumptious thing each week that satiates our sweet tooths and makes us just a little bit better about this paper bag of burning shit on our doorstep called America. And today's dessert is people actually fucking believing women for a change. Like, can we give it up for that?
Starting with Lena fucking Dunham.
Absolutely. So if you... what?
Where is the lie?
Pivot! if you haven't been keeping up with the news, like, first of all, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, subscribe to your push notifications. I feel like I get, like, a push notification a day that's like, this old-ass dinosaur is getting ejected from their position because they've been outed as a sexual predator, and that is fucking awesome. So I just want to pull it out to that. It is just such a time to be alive, because it sucks that it took someone as horrible as Weinstein to be the watershed that set this thing in motion, but it is in motion now.
The only thing I would add is that I feel like it's so important that we, like, absolutely support the people who have been doing work on the ground and in the public eye for decades on this, right? There are people who have been doing activism and advocacy around victims of sexual violence, sexual assault, and rape for their whole lives without ever getting any press at all, because it's not sexy to talk about rape, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that is the only thing I would add is this moment, is this amazing moment where we're having this conversation. It is so needed, but, like, man, I really hope that all those people doing that work feel lifted up by this moment and not frustrated by their invisibility for so many years.
Yeah, so many men are just like,
so true.
I had no idea. And all the women are like, that's Tuesday for me.
I also think that's, like, bullshit. And, I mean, really, that, like, this is not new. Like, I'm so excited for this moment, and I really hope that people who are doing this work are feeling lifted up, and that we can continue to keep them lifted up and continue to keep this conversation going. But the reality is that when it comes to sexual assault, when it comes to rape, none of this is new. Mm-hmm. This has been going on for decades. This has been literally going on for centuries. And so while I'm so happy that the moment is here, sometimes I'm looking at certain people who are tweeting things or making public statements, celebrities, and I'm just like, come on. Like, you knew. Everyone in this circle apparently knew. So let's not pretend that we didn't know. What is it about this moment that's making you finally come forward and say something? And while that accountability is important, and I'm so glad it's here, there's a little part of me that's just like, there's some bullshit going on. But I think if we can keep the conversation going, that's the most important thing. Like, whatever it takes to get it going is fine.
Yeah,
the key is to keep it moving.
I feel like there's, like, this moment is a cultural shift of what we view sexual assault and rape as.
That's right.
Because feel like the last 20 years we've had Law and Order SVU telling us that rape is, you know, a stranger attacking a woman in an alley, and that's the only way
stranger,
it looks. And
right.
now we are finally understanding sort of, like, the layered dynamics of power and how that
power
plays
word.
Into sexual assault and rape. And people are sort of believing it, and it's a paradigm shift of what that looks like. And I think that's really important, because it's not all Law & Order SVU, which, by the way, 90% of Law & Order SVU episodes, the crux of the episode is, what is this rape victim lying about? It's dark.
The only thing that, like, I was like,
really
is I was having a conversation with a friend of mine last night.
But I love that show.
Who's
Mariska. She's my everything.
She's amazing.
I
was having a conversation with a scientist friend of mine last night who was talking about the rampant abuse of power, abuse generally, but also sexual abuse within the scientific community, and how there have been people writing about it actually for a long time, but never will get the press that Hollywood gets, right? So that, like, people in other fields can talk about their sexual assault or sexual abuse or power dynamics publicly, and it is never going to be on NBC. And I think that's something we also need, you know, and it goes down layers of class, right? Like, people who work in service jobs are super, super open to sexual abuse and sexual assault and issues with power. You know, undocumented folk are super open to being abused, because you can use sort of those aspects of power to extract things from people. And so I think we need to keep having that intersectionality come into the conversation. It's really, you know, it's amazing that all of these very public figures and actresses have come out and started talking openly about it, and it's hard as fuck for them. But then when you get down to layers of, like, if you take away wealth and celebrity, it's like, what does it mean for someone who's working in a hotel to come forward and call out the fact that there's rampant sexual abuse in that field? What does it mean for someone in the sciences to come forward and talk about that?
Did everyone see that soundbite where someone asked, like, Jane Fonda, like, what she thought of Weinstein, and Jane Fonda was like, it's unfortunate that we're only listening now that a bunch of white celebrities are saying that this thing is happening, but
we are here for Jane Fonda.
Oh my God, Jane Fonda.
I mean,
clap for Jane Fonda.
When she made her big her return to the big screen with Monster-in-Law in 2005.
Oh my God.
I was all about it.
That movie made me gay.
That movie was so
good. In 2005, Fran?
I think so. I think it was 2005. I think.
I was like, sub dick before 2005, Fran.
Wanda Sykes was just getting big. Michael Barton was still hot. I think it was 2005.
What?
Whatever.
This segment is over. I'm Fran. You can follow me at Fran Squish Co. on all relevant social media.
I'm Joseph Osmondson. I have a book out, and it's...
There's does.
There.
Yes, he
there's
does.
Gonna be
pre-order on Amazon, bitch.
There's going to be a tour, so you can go to my website for all the information, www.josephosmondson.com.
Also, the cover of that book is fucking steamy as hell.
It's
and
Joe
I don't know
naked.
If you guys have
Joe
said
is naked.
Go to his website. It's basically Joe naked.
It's my nipple. It is my nipple.
He has good nipples. It's fine.
Live and in person. Joe's nipples, yeah, everyone.
Yeah. Good nipples. We love Joe's nipples. I am Dennis Norris II, and you can follow me on Twitter at the Earl Denden, TheEarlDenden. It's so long. I was like, am I gonna spell it right? I'm drunk. I don't
Y'all don't streamline your social handles. Like, his Instagram handle is Blurg. And I'm like,
hi.
Can you please, like, I hate Joel Kim on everything. It's
I don't
so
know how to do that.
Anyway.
I never wanted to be famous, Fran.
I don't know how to do it. I don't.
Fucking
I don't.
Lie. That's fucking lie. In September, you were literally like, I just want to be verified on Instagram. Someone please do that for me. The receipt, September 28th. Go
I was,
look at
I was
it.
More oh than God, getting jumped
you know
by someone very famous, Fran.
I actually was going to incorporate it into the previous conversation.
Joe is actually
so
drunk.
Capitalist
I'm so
sorry.
The rest of us.
Sorry, Joel.
Alex, you can edit all this out,
it's
right?
Fine. I'm enjoying this a lot. No, yeah, you can follow me, like Fran said, on I Hate Joel Kim and all of my social media stuff. I have an album out called Model Minority. It's on iTunes.
It's so good.
It's really, it's so
and good. And my Comedy Central half hour is, you can stream it on their app and their website.
As you all know, this episode of Food for Thought was made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of, as you can tell, Rosé. and also our new partnership with Into, the new online magazine of queer news and culture. It's really fucking cool. Get at it, ladies, at intomore.com. Our amazing producer is Alexandra De Palma.
Zaddy.
As I say, yes, she is both our mom and our dad. And we are here at the Bell House for the Brooklyn Podcast Festival. You can listen to Food for Thought on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are found. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes so we can infiltrate the lives of America's straight youth.
And turn
we want to make this happen. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Food for Thought Pod. And speaking of streamlining social media, we couldn't get the handle to our Instagram, so it's gay sluts who read on
which
Instagram.
Is true.
Or if you look at it differently, gay slut whore ad.
Also true.
Both are acceptable.
Where we have lots
the spelling
of,
is the same.
We have updates there. We have homegrown gay memes that you can subscribe to on Instagram. You can sign up for our newsletter, which has weekly updates with every single episode that we're going to be releasing weekly now, which is so exciting. For reading lists and other little extra delectable content at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. And finally, you can email us your thoughts, questions, concerns, and dick pics at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. And I tweeted earlier, I was like, you guys can use this code if you like send me a dick pic or tweet about the event. I got so many dick pics. But not
so
just
happy.
Dick pics, like dick pics with like really encouraging and polite like messages that were just like, we support you. And then like, they're like, but, and I was like, I love our listeners so much. So email us there. And as always, that is food, the number 4, and thought spelled
T-H-O-T.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.